Certain conditions apply.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. U.S. Airways has already upped its bid for Delta once. It could do it a second time, according to this morning's Wall Street Journal. The paper says U.S. Airways might offer another $1 billion in cash. If a group of Delta's creditors officially ask Delta to look at the offer, and if a judge will postpone Delta's next bankruptcy hearing. Apparently, some Delta creditors came to U.S. Airways unofficially and said they'd push for a takeover if the price was right. Tonight at midnight, you'll finally be able to buy Windows Vista. Some stores will stay open late in case you just can't wait to get your hands on the operating system. We're not expecting any shootings or stampedes like we had with PlayStation 3, but Vista is long awaited by some, and Microsoft's competition is making noise about it. Here's Lisa Napoli.
Lots of people like to pick on the mighty Bill Gates. Now a group of rivals like IBM and Sun are reviving their gripes. They're saying Vista could give Microsoft dominance on the Internet, and that would violate the 2004 European Union decision ordering Microsoft to change its anti-competitive practices. Liz Montalbano of the IDG News Service explains.
The Europeans, once again, are upset by this because they just have seen too many companies not be able to compete because of Microsoft's actions.
Montalbano says there's a reason you don't see this kind of Microsoft backlash in the United States.
There's such a de facto standard that even when people cry out against them, they're so woven into the fabric of our economy.
The House of Gates is still waiting for a ruling on its challenge to the EU decision, but it has tweaked Vista's search and security features just to show good faith. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
Wall Street had a huge rally last week, but it only lasted one day. For the week, the Dow dropped more than 0.5%. It starts today at 12,487. The NASDAQ and the S&P 500 also lost more than 0.5% for the week. Oil prices are making a comeback, along with the colder weather. Today, oil's trading at about $56 a barrel. Oil is one of the things Venezuela sends to its friend Cuba. Now Venezuela's sending something else. It's people. From the America's desk at WLRN, Dan Gretsch reports.
Venezuela will send 100,000 low-income citizens on all-expense-paid vacations to Cuba this year. That'll cover the drop in tourism Cuba experienced last year due to inflated prices and political uncertainty surrounding President Fidel Castro's health. Adam Isaacson's with the Center for International Policy in Washington, D.C.
100,000 tourists, that helps Cuba develop its tourism industry more. It helps fill spaces at a time when they're empty. There's clearly a lot of really close communication between both countries, like, what do you need? What can I give you? Let's make a deal.
The Venezuelan tourists will fly on Cuba's state-run airline, and they'll attend consciousness-raising sessions on the island. Venezuela helps prop up the communist island with cheap oil and low-interest loans. What's less clear, Isaacson says, is how Cuba repays its rich ally. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reuters, the world's daily news and information source. Before it's news, it's Reuters. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, Leading People, Leading Organizations, shrm.org.
There's little doubt corporate America has climate change on its mind. Last week, 10 CEOs asked Congress to require limits on greenhouse gases, and global warming was the topic at the World Economic Forum in Switzerland. One of the speakers in Davos was a Yale professor named Daniel Estee. He used to work for the EPA. Now he's written a book about how companies can use environmental strategy to their advantage. Daniel, I found it interesting that one of the main themes in your book is how good intentions don't always pan out.
Well, we've seen companies that have tried to go environmental but haven't done it in a thoughtful or strategic way. So Ford Motor Company, for example, which is at risk of becoming our first ever environment-related bankruptcy, had a CEO, Bill Ford, who was a real environmentalist, but they didn't really understand what the critical environmental issues were for the company. So when it came time to bear down on this, they redid their famous River Rouge factory with a green architect and brought in natural ventilation and light, even grass on the roof. But it turns out that the factory was not the critical issue for Ford Motor Company. It was the cars that they produced. and they were producing gas guzzlers that the public has turned away from. So this is a company that's now very much out of favor with the market and really paying a price for it.
What would you say is your favorite example of a company that has really succeeded at, as your book says, turning green into gold?
Well, one of the stories that is most impressive is that of Walmart. This is a company that's been under a lot of attack, a lot of pressure, seen by many as an environmental despoiler of urban areas. But we see CEO Lee Scott really turning the company into an environmental leader. They are pushing hard to reduce waste across the board. They've committed themselves to going to 100% alternative energy, so they will not be producing greenhouse gas emissions. So this is a company that's had a dramatic turnaround and is really leading the market now.
In your top 50 wave riders, as you call them, companies that are riding the green wave, you have companies you'd expect to see, Starbucks, Toyota, Patagonia. But the top two international companies are BP and Shell Oil. Say what?
Well, of course, this is an important point to make, and that is that companies that are doing well in one thing may not do well in everything. Well, Shell is an example of a company that got one thing completely wrong and then learned from it. You'll remember the famous Brent Spar oil platform that they tried to sink in the North Sea, and they'd done all kinds of studies that proved that this was the environmentally best thing to do. But they hadn't counted on the fact that Greenpeace would mount a protest. And in terms of winning the hearts and minds of the people of Europe in particular, Shell failed and Greenpeace won. So one of the real lessons is that feelings are facts. You've got to convince people on an emotional level that you're doing the right thing from an environmental point of view.
All right, Dan, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Daniel Esty is author of Green to Gold. He's also the director of the Center for Business and the Environment at Yale. YouTubers could start getting paid for their videos. Over the weekend in Davos, the website's co-founder said he's working on a way to share ad revenue with people who post videos, if they own the copyrights, of course. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
American Public Media.
Microsoft's new operating system.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.